gentlemen, it's time for the Action in the Main Attraction here on the Sweet Science Class.
What's up, everybody? Thank you for joining today's episode. And today, we're just going to look back on the Canelo Kovalev light heavyweight fight that we saw this past weekend, talk about where Canelo can go from here in his career, and then we'll touch on the WBSS finals match happening this Thursday morning. I know that sounds weird. And the big YouTube craziness going on this Saturday. And then we'll pretty much get out of here. Not a ton to talk about, but we got to keep it going. And we have to talk about Canelo after the history he made this Saturday. So I got the full crew with me, so I'm going to bring them in. What's up, Felix?
What's going on, Sweet Science Class? Hell of a weekend for fighting. Just ready to talk about what's going on.
What's up, Jakeem?
Yo, what's up, Sweet Science Class family? What's up, fellas?
And what's up, Landon?
Yo, what's up, Sweet Science Class? I hope everybody enjoyed that weekend of glorious boxing. Let's get to it.
Now, before we hop into Canelo, I'm going to go ahead and say this now. We usually save this for the end, but just in case people don't make it all the way to the end of every episode, I'm going to plug it now. Our page right now is blowing up on Facebook. Please like and follow our Facebook page. We're very close to hitting 15,000 followers, and we have always had an Instagram page, but admittedly, we didn't do a lot on it. We were honestly locked out of it for a while. We couldn't remember the password, a bunch of weird stuff. But we finally cracked that code. We're back in it. We've been active on it for the last 3 or 4 days. We've already broken 500 followers. We're popping real good on that. It's connected with our Facebook, so the posts are going each way, both ways. And, of course, we have the YouTube channel. So please like and follow the Facebook page. Follow the Instagram page. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. We are constantly coming with the best, most current, updated news, results, behind the scenes footage, all kinds of cool stuff. So I wanted to get that out there in the beginning, just in case you didn't hear it at the end. Okay, so down goes Kovalev. I didn't think Canelo could do it, but he did it. I mean, I thought he could win. I didn't think he would knock out Kovalev. He knocked him out with a pretty nasty, seemed to start with a left temple shot. It rocked Kovalev pretty nasty. His legs got shaky. Quick right straight, followed it, bam, Kovalev's down, ref stops it in the 11th round. It was a crazy fight. It admittedly wasn't the most exciting fight. It was fairly tactical, fairly technical. It was pretty interesting, and it ended with a bang. So I'm gonna pass it to y'all. What did y'all think? What did y'all see? Did it go as planned? And what happens now?
Well, you know, I wasn't surprised at a knockout. I admit that. But I was surprised that it was a chin check. Because I thought, you know, I kind of followed the narrative with the whole, Kovalev is weak to the body. But it seemed like Canelo couldn't get in there because Kovalev was using his range, using his jab, and keeping the distance. So it kind of took Canelo a while to catch him with that really clean shot. And once the 11th round came, man, we saw it. But one thing I heard a lot of people saying is, Kovalev was kind of gun-shy, like, oh, man, you know, because a lot of people are trying to say this shit is fixed, which is bullshit. Why would a guy get hit like that to fix a fight? I mean, there's so many other ways to fix a fight, and especially with people dying and doing all that, there's no way a guy's going to take a shot like that. But back to my point, Kovalev started the fight just jabbing and jabbing. Well, he pretty much did that the whole fight. But what I'm saying is, like, Kovalev is using his jab and stuff like that, but I think the reason why he was gun-shy is because every time he tried to throw more than two punches, he got caught with a counter. So when people sit here and say, oh, man, he was gun-shy, he was, you know, it was fixed, it's this and that, it's like, if you really watch it, early in the fight, he did try to throw a couple of combinations, but he kept getting countered. And when you're getting countered with a hard shot after you throw your first and second punch, you're going to be gun-shy. So that's something I got out of it. I didn't think Canelo had the power up at 175, but maybe that says a lot about Danny Jacobs and says a lot about Triple G. I think we learned that maybe Triple G is a lot stronger than we thought, because Canelo was staying in the pocket with Kovalev. And as we saw in the first fight with Triple G, Canelo wasn't trying to do that. He did the second fight, but he was a little more cautious. So I think we learned a lot about each fighter and a lot about other fighters, man, that Canelo has fought. I think these middleweights that Canelo could have knocked out, hey, man, they're the real deal. Because we just saw him rock a light heavyweight, man. So what I got from it.
Yeah, just like you, Felix, I was surprised. I had Canelo winning, but I didn't have him winning by a knockout. So I was surprised that, you know, he actually had the power at 175 to knock him out, caught him right on the chin. And man, I didn't like Kovalev's game plan to come out there and just using the jab. I understand he didn't want to throw his right hand because, you know, he didn't want to get countered. But I feel like I had him winning. You know, y'all know I told y'all my internet started messing up after the seventh round. But after seven, I had Kovalev up 4-3. And I felt like he was jabbing too much. A lot of his punches, they were connecting. And a lot were hitting Canelo's gloves, too. But I felt like after a while, if you just keep jabbing and your jab is not telling the story of the fight, the referees are going to, or the judges, sorry, the judges are they're going to kind of turn on you, you know? I don't think they're going to start scoring it in your favor if you're just going out there jabbing, you know, the whole fight. So that's what he tried, that game plan. It didn't work. The 11th round, luckily my internet, you know, got back on before it ended. So I did see the final round. Canelo caught him with a hook. It looked like, Dustin, you said it was the temple. It looked more like, to me, like the lower chin neck area. And that, like, yeah, he had a weird reaction. And then, boom, the right, he went down. And, man, I was surprised. Like, I didn't think that Canelo had that type of power. But I guess it don't matter, like, what weight class you are. When you catch somebody dead on the chin like that, they're going to fall. So, props to Canelo. Like I've been saying, he's probably, to me, he's probably the most skilled Mexican boxer I've seen. And I'm not saying Mexican like Mexican, I'm talking about from Mexico. And probably he's on pace to be probably one of the greatest Mexican boxers.
I'm glad you said that, Jakeem. I don't mean to cut anybody off, but I made a post on Facebook the other day saying that, about how Canelo is the most gifted, talented Mexican fighter, most swift Mexican fighter I've ever seen. And my Facebook blows up with people telling me, how are you going to call him the greatest Mexican fighter of all time? I never said he was the greatest Mexican fighter of all time. Not yet. I'm just saying, skill-wise, eyeball, he's the best. But I'm not talking about accomplishments, but, I mean, we can argue there. So, yeah, man, people got to differentiate what you mean by that. I just want to throw that out there because people are going to think that you're saying that he's the greatest Mexican of all time.
I mean, he's on pace, too. Has anybody ever, another Mexican fighter, four divisions, right? There's been others that done that, right?
Eric Morales.
Okay. But not at the weight that Canelo's doing it at.
Yeah, Canelo's the biggest.
Yeah, so, I mean, fuck it. He's the greatest to me. That's my opinion. Go Nello. That's what I'm going to start calling him. So, I don't care what anybody else thinks.
Excellent takes from the guys right there. And I'll go with Jakeem. I think he's the greatest Mexican boxer to ever live at this point. I mean, he just solidified that. He's the biggest one. He's went up quick. And, I mean, really, just with the Kovalev fight, though, I was honestly looking forward to trying to see Kovalev unleash a little bit of hell. But it didn't happen. I thought he fought a little bit timid, like the guy said. You know, I think he was afraid of the counter shot. And I predicted the knockout. But at the time of it, I had Canelo losing by 2 rounds. So it shocked the hell out of me whenever it happened. I believe the announcers were talking about how they were waiting on Canelo to kick it into fourth gear and fifth gear. And right as they said that, boom, goes the dynamite. So, I mean, I think it was an excellent performance. I enjoyed it. I mean, the fight was a little bit slow, but whenever you're watching history, sometimes you can't bitch, because we just saw it and we're all going to remember the knockout shot. And as the time passes, the memory of it being a slow fight is going to fade, and you'll always remember that one shot. So, excellent performance by Canelo, greatest Mexican boxer of all time.
And for me, you know, I'm probably always going to be the one that they see. They probably get mad at me. These other guys probably think I'm a bit of a hater. I mean, I got Canelo number one pound for pound. I thought it was a great performance. I don't know that I'm sold on his power at 175. After watching the fight and just the way Kovalev looked and fighting 9 weeks prior to that, I think we're seeing the end of Kovalev. His punch resistance isn't there. He was taking pretty big shots from Anthony Yard, and he was fine. I think he's just a shot fighter at this point. He was afraid of the counters, like they said. He never really threw any big, significant shots, which shocked me. I thought he would give a little more hell than that. He absolutely didn't. I had him up maybe 6-4, or probably 6-4 when he got knocked out. But, yeah, he just couldn't handle that shot. I don't know if that still convinces me that he can knock out, you know, someone like a Beterbiev at 175, just because of the fact that the 160 guys were handling it well, and they're not older shot fighters coming off such a quick turnaround in fights. But, you know, while people can say I'm always a Canelo hater and I point out the weight clauses and the rehydration, this and that, he's still my number one pound for pound, so I don't know. You can't call me that big of a hater. But I will always notice those little things like that. So that's just where I stand. But I do think Mexican, skill-wise, he might be the best I've seen skill-wise. I'll reserve my statement on greatest for another couple fights, another couple years. But skill-wise, I can agree he probably is. But like I said, you can call me a hater or not. I'll probably be the one that always clings on to the asterisks and the rehydration clauses and the crazy judgings and the this and that, but that's just me. He's still my number one pound for pound, so you can take that how you want it.
Yeah, Dave Dustin, you're being a hater. Nah, I'm fucking around. What I want to say, though, is I want to hold my judgment on if he's really a shot fighter. You know what I mean? Because he did look good against Yard. So, and he was winning the fight against Canelo. We had him up on the card. So, I mean, how shot is he?
But you were right, though. I mean, it was pretty much only jabs. Canelo just wasn't able to get inside. And he even said later, he was like, it was really hard to get inside. I think they thought they'd have an easy time doing that body attack. And the length and the reach and the height, I think it messed with Canelo a lot more than they expected. It makes me wonder if Kovalev was a little bit more the older guy, or should I say the younger guy that he used to be with that power. Who knows what could have followed? I felt like, I don't know. I really do think we saw an older, like a more shot version, because he's taken some big shots in his career and seemed to handle them fine. And those last couple shots, I mean, I don't see the punch resistance there like he used to have.
Yeah, I feel that. I mean, it's the wear and tear of the fight game. But ability, I mean, I think he still has a little that ability to jab and, you know, jab his way to a victory. It's just he was going against Canelo.
I do too, but and he also had come out and said that after the fifth or sixth round, he was like feeling the quick turnaround from the 9 weeks, and he said he was pretty exhausted after the fifth or sixth round. That's probably why he stopped throwing really anything after the sixth. Kovalev got pretty lackluster in the second half.
But he took the fight, though. That's all.
He took the check.
Well, he took the check.
He took the fight. Hey, this not even limited to you, Dustin, but I've seen, we got this type of stuff. When every time Mayweather fought, when after the big star win, I know Canelo, he's going through a lot of controversy, but after he wins, you hear, oh boy, it was a quick turnaround, and Kovalev took a dive, and you hear all
the narrative changes.
It always does every time the number one guy, number one boxer, and it probably wasn't like that for Pacquiao when he was at the top, but definitely Mayweather. And now I'm seeing the same thing with Canelo. It's like, here comes all the things after of almost like discredited like Canelo's win. And man, I was telling Felix, you know, man, I wanted to get off Facebook for like a day or two, just to, like, I kept seeing a lot of stuff just, you know, trying to discredit his win. It's crazy.
It definitely wasn't fixed. I in no way think that. But even before the fight, y'all know I was upset about the rehydration clause. And I've touched on the 9 week turnaround before the fight. So I'm not trying to do the post fight discredit. I agree. Floyd got that all the time. Canelo gets it. And I may be guilty of it a little bit, but he won more fantastically than I even expected. I don't know how to say this, and I'm really not trying to be a hater. I mean, I wouldn't have him number one pound for pound if I was a full-blown hater. But when I see him defeat like a Beterbiev or a Bivol or a Callum Smith or a Billy Joe Saunders, I'll be sold. That's all I'm waiting for. That's all I'm waiting for. And then I will never say anything again. I just don't know if I expect to even see those fights happen.
Yeah, and they probably won't. But we all knew that this was a calculated risk, you know. even though, you know, Kovalev is older and he's probably lost some steam, Canelo's still coming up two weight classes. Kovalev got knocked out 2 years ago, and then he turned around and beat the same guy that knocked him out. And he beat him convincingly. He didn't look shot then after he got knocked out, and he beat Yard, which, I mean, Yard was, you know, that was probably a step down in competition, but he didn't look terrible. Canelo went up two weight classes and beat him. He didn't beat him how everybody thought with a body shot. He hit him right on the chin and knocked him out. That deserves a lot of credit.
But I was going to say, when you questioned him, are you just questioning him at 175? Because, I mean, beating Danny Jacobs in Triple G, that holds a lot of weight for me.
Questioning his power at 175. Him beating Danny Jacobs was great. Y'all know I don't agree with either Triple G decision. That's what I'm saying. There's just always something. There's always a faulty judging. There's always the weight.
First fight, yeah, but second fight, I mean, it could go both ways. It just depends how you judge it.
Well, and another thing, like, for anybody that wants to call Sergey Kovalev shot, I want you to ask yourself, who would win out of Sergey Kovalev and the winner of Badu Jack and Jean Pascal? I'm going to pick Kovalev. 10 times out of 10 on that.
Well, Kovalev's already knocked Pascal out twice.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, shit, he could get served up again for another belt right there. And then at that point, you could even argue that for another, you know, possibly easy fight for Canelo, where people would say it was easy because he wouldn't be fighting Beterbiev or Bivol. So, I mean, there is another open opportunity that people could start talking shit about at light heavyweight for Canelo.
Yeah, it's a lot like Floyd, of how when he beats Robert Guerrero, who beat he beat Andre Berto at that time, coming off that win, and then Victor Ortiz and those guys were the top contenders, and Floyd mopped them up and never got the credit.
I agree.
And then to add to what Landon was saying too, another perspective is how many smaller fighters would have went up to 175 and beat Kovalev. I don't see Triple G going up to 175 being Kovalev. I don't see none of these other smaller guys coming up being Kovalev. So, I mean, what he did was a great win for him.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up, Jakeem, because Canelo winning the other day had me thinking. I mean, Triple G is a great fighter. Don't get me wrong, but is he Hall of Fame, or is he anything like that? Because, I mean, he stayed at one weight class. He never moved up. Canelo showed balls, man.
I don't think he's Hall of Fame, and that may drop your jaw.
I don't think so either. I don't think so.
I think he might be just because of the crazy KO streak.
Yeah, and how many years he was reigning champion. When it was a long time, right?
He broke.
And some consecutive fights.
He was about to break B-Hop's record when the loss came or something like that.
He doesn't have a lot of company there, so I'd definitely say he's a Hall of Fame fighter.
I would think he's a Hall of Fame for that, too.
It's very interesting that Jakeem says yes and I say no.
Because you think, hey, though. Nah, he gets credit for that, though. He dominated the 160. If you're dominating your division for that long a period of time, I mean, you deserve to be. And there's no individual Hall of Fame for
one. Okay, that sounds like Hall of Good. Hall of Fame needs to be guys who challenge themselves to move up. Unless you're like a heavyweight or something like that, of course, you're not going to be having multiple belts. But I don't know, man. It's hard for me to put someone who dominated one weight division in the same hallway with guys who won like three or four or five. You know what I'm saying?
If he would have been undisputed, I would say yes.
Yeah, there you go.
And okay, that's where it gets tricky with me, because I think he won at least one of the Canelo fights, but we have to go by BoxRec.
Well, that would probably be one of my knocks on Triple G, is not moving up, especially as he got older. Like, staying at the weight class for so long, like, that would probably be my biggest knock on him. Yeah, I'll go with that.
And, I mean, I can't reiterate enough. If I wanted to be the atomic Canelo hater, he wouldn't be my number one pound for pound. That's why I say, I pay respect. I hate Tom Brady, but he's amazing. You know what I mean? I give the credit.
Yeah, and I can vouch for that, because I really didn't expect you to say that Triple G wasn't a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, see, I usually keep it real, even if it hurts me. Canelo's amazing. I'm ready when he takes on one of those people I mentioned and beats their ass, which I think he possibly could. Like, if he took on Callum Smith at 168 and just beat him, I'd tap out. I'd shut up. You'd never hear anything from me ever again. I think the thing that disappointed me about the Kovalev fight is when it was announced, I think the big headline was no specific weight clause, 175, and it was totally advertised as no rehydration. And we were all like, whoa, really? And I never heard anything about it. And then, like, a day or two before the fight, I start hearing that that was in the contract, and I was just like, man, why does there always got to be something? But I know. It's me throwing these asterisk signs. Canelo's great. I'm not saying he's not. And he's probably the most skilled Mexican fighter I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It's just, he catches a lot of hate, and I think a lot of the hate comes from, not necessarily his personality, maybe it is his personality, maybe, I don't really know, because I'm not from there, so I don't know what offends them or what rubs them the wrong way, as far as that culture, but I do know, as far as the boxing culture, he caught a lot of flack because of his style in the first Triple G fight, because everybody was trying to say, oh, he was a chicken, he was running, and I heard it. I mean, I live in Los Angeles, so... I mean, I don't even have to explain. That's the narrative I heard. And then he goes in there, goes toe-to-toe with Triple G, goes toe-to-toe with Akovala, Danny J, you know, all these guys. And they're still, now they're not even mentioning his style of fighting, but they're still hating on him. So it's like, y'all really hate on him because of his style, or y'all just hating on the man? I think they're just hating on the man.
I agree with that, because I've even, at my, where I work, I've even, you know, I work with a lot of Mexicans, and I've even, you know, this may shock people. If I hear something dumb, I'll defend it. And I've defended Canelo on multiple occasions when they'll come in and be like, he runs and he's boring. And I'm like, that's not true. And then I was telling people last week, I was like, he's got to fight this Saturday. And they're like, is it worth it? You know, kind of already downplaying it before they even knew anything about it. And I was like, I mean, he's moving up. It's pretty brave. He's going up against a big Russian dude. And, you know, like, I do think people just want to hate. And I have defended him on several occasions. And one thing I will say, very, very positive, I was saying this to the people who came over and watched the fight with me, when they were showing them, you know, backstage before the fight, and Canelo's just hanging out, I said to the people here, I may have never seen a fighter stay so relaxed, calm, and confident in my entire life, before every fight. It doesn't matter who the opponent is, he moved up for Rocky Fielding, moved up for this, he's always in the background looking like... We were joking around. Some of the guys were like, he just looks like he's waiting at Thanksgiving for mom to finish the food. He's just waiting around. Like, he just chills. He has nerves of steel, man.
Yeah, and to come in with what Felix was talking about, I think that's why we consider him the most skillful Mexican fighter, because I feel like when you were saying they, I think you mean a lot of Mexican or Mexican-American fans, and they're used to, you know, the Mexican-style way of boxing. And Canelo, he's past that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not just a Mexican style fighter. He's a boxer, you know.
But he is capable of doing it, which is cool.
And he is capable of doing it. But he's going to do it depending on what the fight presents. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And that's why I think him and Terrence Crawford are the best, because you don't know which fighter you're going to get when you're going to face them.
They're like Bill Belichick. They're going to adapt to the opponent, and you're going to see whatever you need to see.
That is crazy to me. Like, you really don't know. And it can even change middle of the fight. It's like, he'll just come out with a whole different style. It's just, wow. You know what? Instead of hating everybody and doing all this like these people are doing, man, just sit back and appreciate this shit.
Dustin brought up a piece where he said, like, a lot of people were asking him if the fight was even worth watching. And that's a problem right there. Like, they're not even giving his opponent a chance of even looking at him or even researching who they're talking about
before they even know the name. Fight.
Yeah, and they're going to go ahead and discount the fight. And it's the same people that are going to go around saying that the fight's fixed, that Canelo doesn't fight rough enough. They're not even fans. They're fans of what's trendy and trending on Twitter. That's it.
Yeah, if you think the fight was fixed, you're a moron.
Absolutely. Fucking idiots.
Well, how did y'all feel about the delay having to wait? Because, you know, it was past midnight our time, right, Central? I think it was past. It was
damn near 1 o'clock, Texas.
Yeah, it was 1. It was 1:15. And do y'all feel that was weak of the zone, or was that smart business?
I say it was smart business. I mean, you got plenty of people on the West Coast. It's 10 o'clock, still able to party and everything. So, and plus, you know, both, you were going to have viewers run away, because you're going to have people who are fans of both sports like myself. I definitely wouldn't have ran away from the Canelo fight, but I do know some people who would have and went and watched Diaz and Masvidal fight. So, I mean, I think it was a smart game plan to maximize viewership for both audiences.
I can see it both ways. I was invited to a fight party, and they were going to have two TVs, and they were going to have both things going in a different room. And multiple of the guys told me, I ended up not going. I watched it at home, and several people came here. But several of them told me, they're like, you're going to hate me, Dustin, but if the main events are on at the same time, I'm going to watch the UFC one. So that just shows right there. It would have been, you know, a conflict. People may have chose the UFC over the other, this and that. So I could see both ways. I could see people being annoyed. Trust me, I could see you being annoyed with that. I was cool with it only because I had some friends over. We were sipping vodka. We threw on, I had my Bluetooth speaker, and we were just reminiscing old school music that we used to listen to. We were having a good time. I didn't mind it, but trust me, if you did mind it, I understand.
I didn't mind it at all, man. I'm in the West Coast, so I got to watch every fight pretty much. It was cool. And it was early, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I like being up late. Schedule. I like late fights. I'm that weirdo. When fights get delayed and it doesn't start till 11, I'm excited. I don't know what it is, you know, but I love being up.
Those late fights remind me of the old school back on HBO.
Yeah.
Remember, their fights used to be on late.
Yeah, I love watching a fight at midnight, and everyone's like, it's just too late, I'm tired. I'm like, I like it. This is what I prefer.
The boxing after dark, yeah.
Yeah. So I can see it both ways, and I can understand easily both sides.
And I think it is smart business, man. I mean, they don't have nothing to lose. Everybody was still going to watch. The subscription's already paid for. If you don't watch it, you already paid for it.
And I saw a couple people today and yesterday saying, well, do you think Dana White would have done that for them? And no, I don't think so, but they also can't afford that. They probably can't afford that because they may lose viewers. Boxing always does fine with the numbers, so that's a lame argument in my opinion.
You know, they finally do, you know how people are like, oh, boxing's not for the fans. They finally do something for the fans, and people are still bitter.
No one's ever happy.
Some people are always going to bitch.
And to keep it going, you know, with the same event and the Mexican style and the Mexican fighters on the rise, we'll talk a couple seconds on Ryan Garcia. You know, he's selling me. There was something about him. I didn't like him, and I'm admitting this wholeheartedly, just blunt truth. Maybe it's his face. I know that sounds horrible. There was just something I didn't like about him, and I was always kind of rooting for him to lose. And I kind of thought Duno would give him trouble, and he sparked that fool out so fast. I'm like, I'm done. I'm kind of on the wagon. I recently heard an interview with him on the Chris Mannix podcast. Seemed like a real cool dude. He was kind of funny. You know, he was interesting. I take, you know, all my hate's gone. I'm trying to throw all my hate away for Ryan Garcia and Canelo Alvarez. You know, I support them, and I'm fans.
Well, yeah, I was really surprised with Ryan Garcia, and he kind of made me a fan. The other night, because Duno was supposed to be his biggest problem presented to him, and everybody thought he was scared, and they didn't fight back in September, and it was just a big old fiasco over the match, and people had Duno looking like the boogeyman, and Ryan Garcia went out there and handled him in a less than a round. So, I mean, he made a new fan out of me.
No, I mean, I'm still not a big fan of his personality. Like, he kind of strikes me as a little bitch a little bit, but I mean, you can ask the guys about 80 seconds before the fight started. I straight up said, okay, let's watch Ryan Garcia get his little ass knocked out. And then less than 3 minutes later, I was like, well, damn. So, I mean, I may not like him, but he's going to be fun to watch. And he's quite obviously going to be part of the immediate future in boxing. I don't know how far his reach goes. But, I mean, he's going to be fun to watch while he's here. I mean, you can pinch me right now if he becomes an all-time great. But I don't see him becoming an all-time great. I think once we start measuring him up against some of the top-notch folks in his class, he's going to start to fall. But it's going to be fun to watch.
But what do you think about his face, though?
I don't fucking like him. I don't like his fucking face at all.
You know what, man? I think I'm sold. I, you know what? I used to follow him. I mean, when he first came back on the IG, back on the scene, and when he was really young, I think that's when he first turned pro. And just watching him develop, I feel like he's developed a lot. His dad was his trainer, and then his dad gave up the training to go to Canelo's team. And, man, he's looking stronger. He's looking more skilled because he had a lot of flaws. And I want to see him still go a few rounds just to see if they fix those flaws, because we really didn't get a chance. But, I mean, you got to give the kid some props. He's a marketing genius. He's got 4 million fucking IG followers. Y'all hate his face. I don't know. Them girls seem to like me. So.
Yeah, because his Instagram is a fucking, like, a teen beat magazine, man. It's fucking weird.
That's probably what it was for me. He just looked real, you know, pretty boy preppish. And in my head, I was like, this fool ain't going to last. But You know? It's working. Who cares?
His personality, his look, he's a typical just California kid, man. And it's a confidence. Some might say it's cocky, but like I said, man, he's selling himself. And that's how you make money. That's how you become a star. What we've seen, you know, he's one of those guys that maybe he'll have a life after boxing and everything. You know, I see that. Will he be all-time great? I don't know. But it's not always about that.
And he was far more humble on that interview I was talking about earlier than I expected. That was another thing. I was like, okay, you know, I thought he was just this cocky little preppy shithead. But I was wrong. I was wrong about a lot of it, and I'm man enough to admit that.
I still want to see him get in there with Tank. Because he was talking all that shit to Tank about a year and a half ago about how he wanted to get in there and fight until neither one of them could lift their hands. Bet he still won't do that. Bet Tank still fucks his ass up.
I feel like that Tank match, that might be hard to make, but an easier match to make is with Devin Haney since they both on the zone.
Who he had beaten the amateurs, apparently.
Mm-hmm. So how long do y'all think they'll take before they even start thinking about making them fight?
2021.
I hope not. Well, 2021 is good because that's like a year from now. So hopefully wait too long.
I think 2021 makes a lot of sense because they were talking about him fighting Linares and him fighting Campbell in 2020. I think that's a good come up.
I'm good with those.
As long as they don't take a step down in competition, I feel like I'm good with that. I just don't want it to be a thing where we wait too long and end up like Ruiz Joshua, one of them lose or something or lose steam. So hopefully they can fight good competition and keep winning.
Agreed. And with that, we'll move on to this weird Thursday morning. I believe it's over in Japan, so that's why it's such a weird time. It's going to be at 4 a.m. for Texas, 2 a.m. California, 5 a.m. New York. I don't even know how I'm going to arrange that to watch it. Maybe I'll wake up at 5 or 6 and see if the undercards are done. Got work that morning. I really don't enjoy how they set this up, but got Inoue versus Nonito Donaire. I mean, very quickly, guys, I mean, I think we've talked before the podcast, so when we've been touching on this privately for a couple of weeks now, I think we all pretty much have the same similar thoughts on predictions on this. So just very quickly, let's just go around. What are y'all expecting?
I'm going to be quick with it. I had a dream, and I don't never remember my dream, but I had a dream about because I kept thinking about, like, how the hell am I going to watch this fight? And I guess thinking about it, I went to bed. I had a dream that, anyway, knocked Donaire out in the first round. So that's what I'm predicting, and that's what's going to happen.
I'll go with a round one knockout myself for anyway. I really like Nonito, and I hope he's okay afterwards. I really hope he goes back to doing his side hustle, which is boxing photography. He seems to be really good at it. So I hope he's okay after all this, but KO won, anyway.
Yeah, this fight for me got pound for pound implications on it. That's why I'm interested in it, because I feel like if anyway ends it early, I mean, you got to move him. He moves, then moves into the top three pound for pound. So that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, because I'm not going to watch this fight. If it's going to be at 2, 3 a.m., I'm not watching this fight. I'm going to be asleep like Donaire.
Yeah, we were discussing that earlier. This fight really has pound-for-pound implications, depending on how Inoue wins. If he wins, I mean, who knows? Maybe Nonito's got some crazy old-man tactics, but if it happens how we expect, especially quick, it's tough not to put Inoue in the top three, if not the top two. So this fight's big. You know, we're all working on some pound-for-pound lists right now, but we're waiting for this fight to end. We want to see the dust settle on Inoue. Then we'll go from there. I think, you know, I'm going to give the old man the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to say he goes to the third or fourth round. I'm going to say Nonito's got enough old man's, and that sounds funny. you tell someone that they're going to go to the third or the fourth, and that's him, like, hustling. But I think he's got enough old man tactics and skills and maybe a trick or two to get to the third or fourth round. And it's really unfortunate that you can't make this a time machine fight, because Inoue right now versus Nonito from media. Man, I remember watching him just a decade ago when he was killing Darchinian and them. Like, that would be a great fight. I don't think Nonito's going to have enough. He kind of had a weird red carpet, magic carpet ride to this finals. Some crazy weird flukes and injuries happening. So I'm going to give him till the third or the fourth round, but I think Inoue does take him out in four or less.
Yeah, great benefit of the doubt. to buy it till the third round.
I'm going to be crazy. I'm going to give him to three.
It's been like 10, 11 years since he made Montiel do the stanky leg. knocked his ass out, made him start shaking.
He's got some old man tactics on how to survive for 6 minutes.
Fucking survivalist over here, man.
His last knockout, though the opponent might not have been amazing, it did show that he still got that power. It was a vicious one-punch knockout. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe NUA goes in wild and maybe he gets caught. I don't
know. There is something that, hey, there is something that water in the Philippines. Never know.
Duno wasn't drinking it.
He's not old enough. We're talking about that fountain of youth.
Talking about that old man. B-Hop kind of, you know, B-Hop knew how to survive. Stuff like that. I don't know. Probably not, but we'll see. We'll see. 6 a.m. Thursday or some stupid crap like that. And then Saturday, I mean, we're not really going to break it down, but you've got the big YouTube rematch, KSI versus Logan Paul. First fight was a 4-round draw with headgear. This time they turned pro officially. They got their license. They're going to go 10 rounds, 3 minutes, no headgear. You know, it's going to be an event. There's going to be a lot of people tuning in, a lot of people who don't watch boxing because these guys each have tons and tons and tons of YouTube followers. So it'll be an event. You know, it'll be interesting. We're going to watch it. Billy Joe Saunders on the undercard. Devin Haney's on the undercard. You know, it is what it is. Felix will be in the building, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll be up in there, man. And like you said, it's an event. But you got to remember, Devin Haney and Billy Joe Saunders are fighting. And it's a really good undercard. And it's a way for, I guess, Eddie Hearn to try to get subscribers to DAZN. And people that don't watch boxing, it's a way for them to get to know a Devin Haney and get to know a Billy Joe Saunders, who a guy who has a personality. You know, At first I kind of knocked it, but then I'm realizing, like, I can see the genius behind it. You know, you got to sell, and you got to bring in new boxing fans, and I guess this is a really smart way, man. I mean, YouTube is the new way. I mean, my kids are always on it. My oldest is always on it. They know things I don't know about. I didn't even know who these guys were. I'm not going to lie, but I had to do my research, and it's going to be an event. Especially, it's going to be in L.A. Live, Staples Center. So, yeah, it's going to be an event.
It's pretty smart.
And I will be there representing the Sweet Science class. So be on the lookout, man. We're going to bring some content from that event. So just be on the lookout.
And I really hope that some of these non-boxing fans, more of the casual fans tuning in, I hope that this gives them a new love. I hope they stick around and start watching more fights.
Yeah, I can't lie. Like, I kind of knew about it last year. I guess I caught it the day after on YouTube. I didn't even know who the guys were, though. So I ain't going to, you know, give them that much credit. I didn't know who they were, but I did watch it. And I just feel like this is a very smart move by Eddie Hearn. You know, he's a smart man, businessman, so it's good business. And, I mean, all I see it as entertainment, so I'm going to kick back, you know, give me a beer and watch it.
Yeah, I watched the fight live last year whenever it happened. And the only reason why I knew is because I wanted to see Logan Paul get his ass kicked. Thought it was cool to take a camera into one of Japan's, like, most wild places called the Suicide Forest and try to take pictures of dead people.
Yeah, I heard
that. So, in my opinion, he's kind of a fucking creep. And I hope KSI goes and fucks his ass up, just like I hope it happened last time. But Logan went out last time and actually tried to box with him for the first two rounds and punched himself out and let KSI get back in the match. And I hope he does it again. And then I hope KSI drags his ass as long as he can and just beats the fuck out of him.
I'm hoping to be entertained. And I will say that they're both looking decent in training. And Logan Paul is actually being trained by Let's Go Champ Shannon Briggs. So let's see what that can bring out of him.
KSI is with the Mayweathers.
Really?
Yeah, I think Gary?
Jeff.
Okay, it's the not well-known one.
The most hilarious one.
Yeah, he's funny, though.
He's funny. He's the best Mayweather.
I follow his YouTube channel, and it is funny, dude. I love Jeff, and I love Shannon Briggs, so that's cool. See, little things like that is boxing fanatics. Suck
it's
me
one of those
in.
Things, man, it's one of those things where you're like, man, that shit's whack, and then you're sitting at home on Saturday night, and you're just like, I mean, what else am I going to do?
Exactly.
You know, I'm not going out tonight. Hey, it's on.
I'm
so,
starved for boxing anyway. I mean, I'll watch
it. There's boxing matches on it, man. It's a whole full card. So even if you don't want to watch that main event, watch those other fights.
Yeah, and I'm a big Billy Joe. I'm a big Billy Joe fan, so I'm excited to see that. Devin Haney's always fun. Yeah, it'll be a good card. Everyone should tune into DAZN Saturday. Tune into DAZN Thursday, or watch the replay when you wake up. I don't know how to sell that 4 a.m. stuff. I'm with you. If you're not gonna watch it, I feel you, because I'm still debating on how I'm going to go about that. But I guess that pretty much wraps it up. Anything y'all got to say? Final things?
I pretty much let everybody know I'll be at the event, and just a repeat of everything I said, and follow the Instagram and YouTube, because the content will be on there as well. So go ahead and give us a like, follow.
Yeah, and definitely follow us on Instagram, The Sweet Science Class. We're at over 550 followers right now. We'd love to have you follow us. We're spreading some of the greatest shit in boxing. Blowing up. Sweet Science Class is going to be at the Staples Center Saturday night. So we appreciate everybody's support. We love all of you. And can't wait to continue this journey with you all.
Yeah, y'all stay tuned. We try to keep the content going. Trying to keep the news up and everything. And, you know, let's try to be better after the big fights. I know we all boxing fans, but after the big fights, not so much. You know, all this negativity and stuff like that. We're all boxing. Let's try to be better boxing fans. That's all I can say to everybody.
And on the note of being a better boxing fans, I'll go out with saying props to Ryan Garcia, props to Canelo Alvarez, and good luck, Nonito Donaire. I wish you the best. If you pull off a win, that'd be amazing. The least is don't get hurt.
Kumbaya, Jakeem is saying. Mr. Peaceful guy over here.
The irony of that. So, yep, like the guy said, follow us, like us, sub us. Sweet Science Class is out.